The very glamorous, very visible Caitlyn Jenner story has changed the way many Americans think about the experience of being transgender.
I would like to work with this community to get this message out. They know a lot more than I know. I am not a spokesman for the community.
And that, in a way, is the message of this week's Retro Report. Caitlyn Jenner can't be a spokeswoman for the transgender community because her story is a wild distortion of the much more likely experience of being transgender. It's a story of fear, poverty, and isolation. Bonnie Bertram is a producer for Retro Report. Welcome back.
Hi, nice to see you.
So what was the mission of Retro Report? You normally look back farther in time than in this story. What did you want to do to contextualize the transgender movement in the era now of Caitlyn?
Right. Well, we started working on this in February, so it was well before the Caitlyn Jenner stuff had debuted and made such a big splash. And what was striking to us is that there was this whole forgotten history of this legacy of transgender activism and how they'd really been pushed to the margins of the history books. They played a pivotal role in Stonewall, which is remembered as the birthplace of the gay rights movement. But the transgender people's role is really something that's sort of been forgotten largely.
And here reminding us of that role is Professor Jennifer Finney Boylan from Barnard.
To be trans means to be visible. If you walk out your door, it can mean you are at risk for violence.
And is that today? Is that something that is associated
with...
It's forever.
They are a resilient group of people because they face a staggering levels of suicide. They're often the targets of hate crime, and they're prone to live in extreme violence because in a lot of places, it's not against the law to discriminate them. So once you don't have access to resources, it starts this downward spiral that really imperils a lot of their lives.
And creates a social situation which is challenging, to say the least. Here's Lourdes Ashley Hunter, who's executive director of Trans Women of Color.
The community that I work for is wondering how they're going to eat tonight, wondering if they're going to have health coverage, wondering if they're even going to make it back to the shelter where they're staying. Well, I don't want people to watch Transparent and say this is the lives of trans people, because it is not.
She's referencing there Transparent, which is certainly a groundbreaking program, but is at odds with her life.
Well, it's terrific, and no knock against all of those programs and all of the great visibility that's happening to transgender people right now. But what's often not told is the story that a lot of these people face, and particularly trans women of color.
And what is the reason for that? I mean, is it...
It's a hard story to tell, John. I mean, in a lot of ways, these people often are transient or homeless. So they live outside the parameters of traditional data-taking research tools. So you can't reach these people. So not a lot is known about them. The statistical studies that there are that talk about the way that they live and the obstacles that they face are not really 100% reliable. So it's a very sort of invisible group, which is ironic because to be trans, as Jenny says, is such a visible prospect.
And visible now because of the glamorous Caitlyn story. But here you allow Lourdes Ashley Hunter to tell a much different story that's not glamorous at all about her experience.
So I found myself homeless and end up having to be assigned to a men's shelter called Ward's Island. Ward's Island housed about 1,000 men. And every night, there was a fear for me. I couldn't sleep. I can remember a time where I went to take a shower, and a man came into a shower and raped me. And he had a razor blade. And there was nothing that I can do.
Lourdes Ashley Hunter, executive director of Trans Women of Color, speaking in your documentary on Retro Report. When is she speaking of? What years is she speaking
of? It happened in 2002, but this has been a problem, and it still happens, like the Ashley Diamond story in Georgia, that a lot of people who are transgender are put with people who aren't appropriate for the gender that they now identify with, which puts them in a bad situation, right? A homeless shelter or a prison. So they have, like, essentially a target on their back. And the fact that these people's humanity should be up for grabs at all, which is something that Jenny says so eloquently in our story, is really kind of shocking.
And at odds with the whole idea of everything's fine now that you get from the Caitlyn Jenner story.
Right. I mean, a lot of these people tell a much different story.
Bonnie Bertram, Retro Report producer, thanks so much.
Sure.
You can watch Retro Report's latest story on the transgender movement at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is supported by Citrix, creator of GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses in face-to-face online meetings from any device, featuring a personalized meeting room for a custom look. Learn more at GoToMeeting.com.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.